Sutler.
Where's everyone going? Bingo?
How are we feeling? I mean, how are we sounding? Feeling
good.
So, sounding feeling. How are we sounding? Feeling.
How are we feeling? Good.
Sounding feeling.
Sound feeling?
Anxiety low.
How about the Joker? How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm good. Great.
Listen to last week's episode for that.
Two weeks ago episode.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We record weird, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started.
Yay!
Sweet.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Welcome.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Damn it. All okay. Right. Very special episode for Anthony's birthday month. We are continuing.
Yep. It is. The birthday mandate continues.
And if we sound weird, it's because I don't have enough space at my kitchen table for all these fine gentlemen. So
that's right. We're bringing back the N4L crew for this one to discuss what might be one of the best games ever made.
Well, I have to introduce them first.
Oh, yeah. Fuck them. Let's go.
Jesus.
Joining us this week, we have James.
Hello.
Alex.
Hello.
And Jim.
What's up?
I gotta cover my hello, man. Yeah, this is something different.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to start busting out the one-liners yet, because, you know, this game is full of one-liners.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. No, they're gonna be sporadically thrown out here. Yeah.
Very excited to have you guys back. It's been a minute. This is the first time all three of you have been on the podcast.
That's true.
So
together, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so very exciting. Would you like to introduce what we're talking about today?
Yes, as I said earlier, one of the best games ever made.
Yes!
That's exactly. It's Resident Evil 4, the long-awaited follow-up to our continuous Resident Evil series. So this, I think, has a pretty special place for pretty much all of us here.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the prime demographic for when this one came out. And yeah, if I was going to do it, I'm going to do it on the birthday month because I literally play this game every year. Once a year. So, yeah. Big deal. But since, you know, Jim hasn't been on the podcast yet, he gets to introduce the IMDb synopsis and all the good information, so...
Wasn't he here with the Resident Evil?
Yeah, was here for the E3, or was that the other one?
No, E3. Oh, E3. That was on your podcast.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that was right. We've all worked together one time.
I remember now. You guys were very at each other's throats.
Exactly. Yes.
Deserving though, but
I apologize.
Let's,
sorry.
Let's see how it goes this round.
All right. So
hi.
Not off to a good start.
I felt like I had to just throw something in there.
Okay, so we're talking about Resident Evil 4. Let's see, 6 years after the events in Raccoon City, Leon Kennedy, now a federal agent, is sent to a rural part of Spain to rescue the U.S. president's kidnapped daughter, Ashley Graham, from a sinister cult.
Hey, he did it!
Interesting!
Not bad.
Why is it Leon Kennedy and not Leon S. Kennedy?
Because it's IMDb. Because it's IMDb. Remember, we copy and paste it. They're the ones that fuck it up.
Right. I'm just saying you gotta put some respect on that.
I agree.
I'm just saying.
All right, written and directed by Shinji Mikami.
Yeah. That was close.
I was going to mess it up, but, you know. Developed by Capcom Studio 4 and published by Capcom. See, original release January 11, 2005 on the Nintendo GameCube.
And also released subsequently on every other platform they possibly could for the past decade and a half. So.
Damn.
I even had it on the phone, iPhone.
You had the iPhone version?
I had the iPhone version.
There was iPhone version?
There was an early iPhone version.
Like the 3GS or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, it was actually, on 3GS.
Oh, wow!
You're not far off.
Yeah, before the 4, I had 3GS and I downloaded that.
Wow!
Mm-hmm. It was on the Wii.
I only said that because my very first iPhone was a 3GS.
Mine was a 3GS also.
I feel like it might even.
I've never had an iPhone.
Either, so
it may even been on.
The I don't even know what these people are talking
about. How does it feel to be an elitist? Did you send the Apple user. Right?
Oh yeah, it's in there. You're in there. Don't worry. I think you say it too. All right, so Alex, let's follow up from our last Resident Evil episode. What, 2020?
Yay! I know an expert on the franchise, Alex Webster. Last we checked, Resident Evil 3 was a big success for Capcom in a lot of ways, but the video game industry was making some major changes as the fifth generation, consisting of the PlayStation and Nintendo 64, made way for the sixth generation, consisting of the PlayStation 2, GameCube, and Xbox. I remember this very vividly.
I think this is the one with the most console wars, too. Yeah. People were the most pissed off at each other during this generation, me and him specifically.
I was going to say, real quick, is there going to be stuff in this outline about your pretentious attitude?
We can talk about it.
When you said that it was going to be on GameCube only and then it showed up on PS2 like a year later.
We'll talk about it. We were in high school, so we had wars with each other over game content.
That hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't.
Anyway, after it was decided that the Nemesis Project would turn into the official Resident Evil 3, Capcom wanted to launch the fourth installment early in the PlayStation 2's life cycle, and they assigned the director of the most successful entry in the franchise, Resident Evil 2, to take it on. Hideki Kamiya?
That's good, yes. Hideki Kamiya.
Yes. As noted in our episode on the legendary Resident Evil 2, Kamiya was more of an action fan than a survival horror fan, though in that game he was able to use his instincts to make a game that excelled at both for its time. But like survival horror, action games in the new generation had a lot more potential thanks to the major jump in horsepower, and they needed to evolve.
Yeah, I think, for context, N64 to GameCube was, like, a huge leap.
Yeah.
Like, technology-wise, like, it was gigantic. PS1 to PS2, like, so developers had a lot more to work with.
Definitely.
Cool.
Thanks, James.
Welcome. Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful insight from our most guested fucking host.
You know. That's all.
That happened.
I'm contributing, okay?
Contributor James.
That's me.
The team took a good old-fashioned field trip to Spain and the UK, where they took tons of pictures of Gothic structures inside and out as they decided to drop the fixed camera angles from previous installments. They also wanted to add a coolness factor to the franchise, so they went all Matrix with their protagonist wardrobes, who was now named Tony?
Yeah.
Good old Ron Burgundy?
You should have put a fucking question mark.
I know.
Protagonist Tony? Question mark?
Put a question mark in there for Alex.
It was between Tony and T-Dog, right?
That would have been better than Tony.
but Camille wanted Tony. It was going to be Tony. He was going to be dressed like Neo. That was going to be the guy.
That's so weird. Tony is... Okay,
the early 2000s were a weird time.
Whatever.
They were a weird time.
Whatever. Producer Shinji Mikami saw all this and realized this was not Resident Evil. However, he didn't hate it. So gradually, he convinced the team to abandon any concept of their work and began a new Resident Evil game and instead turned into a new franchise. The team agreed, and Devil May Cry was born.
Oh, shit.
I did not know this.
I was going to say, I don't know if you talked about it in the discussion one, or if you have it in there, but the first prototype of Resident Evil 4 was straight, like, Ghost in what was it, Ghost Armors or Puppets?
There's a whole section on every version. Sorry, I don't want to jump the gun. We're telling a story here,
man. Just skip it, dude.
My bad.
All
right.
So this is it.
To be fair, I do that all the time.
That's true. That's true.
I'm like, did you know that? And he's like,
did you know you could read two lines ahead?
Wait,
wasn't
it?
No, it's coming up.
Anyway, now that Kamiya had his hands full with a brand new franchise, one that turned out to be hugely successful, Mikami took the reins and focused his attention on turning Resident Evil 4 into a brand new take on survival horror. He wasn't going to completely forgo the action angle, however, but Capcom had to make a few big moves before getting there.
Yeah, yeah. So Capcom was in a really weird place at this point in time. So, Jim?
Yep.
Thank you so much for not throwing so much Japanese at me.
Oh, it's coming up right now. Jim, let's get some
excited. All right, let's do this. So the PlayStation 2 was absolutely killing it in sales by the time Devil May Cry launched. But competition was about to make itself apparent when the Nintendo GameCube and Microsoft Xbox launched in 2001. Both started out strong with games like Halo and Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to ward off the powerhouse that was Sony's second PlayStation, which trounced everything with the release of Grand Theft Auto 3.
Grand Theft Auto 3 killed everything.
Dude, Grand Theft Auto,
yeah. No, they
Word of the day is trounced, by the way. What the fuck?
It trampled the competition.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Like, I understand. But also, like, out of all the words in the English language, you were just like, trounced is good.
Well,
yeah.
The PS2 beat the shit out of the Xbox.
You could have said that.
I would have gone
with
that one.
It beat the shit out of the Xbox and GameCube. Like, not even close.
No, he's not gonna give it props like that.
Yes.
Shanks, woozle wazzle.
Yes.
I agree.
Endorse.
As discussed in our first Resident Evil episode, all the way back in 2019, Capcom did have one exclusive ready to go on the GameCube that found major success and gave Mikami a creative
rejuvenation.
Yeah, that was close.
I totally messed that up. The Resident Evil remake.
Nice.
Let's see. It is at this time that Mikami and Capcom, after seeing the first year sales in 2002, decided to make a strange move and support the fledgling Nintendo GameCube with what was at the time known as the Capcom 5.
Does anybody remember the Capcom 5, like, in video game magazine?
No.
So, I do remember it,
right?
But I don't remember it being called the Capcom 5.
Yeah, it was,
but I, yeah.
I just remember saying, ooh.
Yeah.
I remember you saying, ooh, and being like, no, it's going to be good. This will be 5 games.
I was like, ooh, look out for these guys.
These games would be exclusive to the platform, which had more of a family-friendly reputation, and consisted of 5 games: PN03, Beautiful Joe, Dead Phoenix, Killer 7, and Resident Evil 4. This was met with some backlash, as most industry insiders found the move dumb. Capcom later concealed Dead Phoenix, ported Beautiful
canceled,
Joe,
later
or canceled, not concealed, yeah. Still
concealed. No, don't worry, they concealed it.
They concealed it by canceling it.
Exactly, thank you.
They canceled it. It said some bad racist shit, so they had to cancel that shit.
As he ported Beautiful Joe to the PlayStation 2 after it undersold in the States and let PN03 die on the GameCube.
He did. Like,
was that PN03 like some type of ghost Fatal Frame ripoff?
It was the futuristic one
with the girl in the white suit.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Where she is the all dodging moves and like it was almost like
that Vanquish game.
That's what I was
saying. PN03 is a 2003 third person shooter developed and published by Capcom for the GameCube. Set in a space colony compound, the game follows a female mercenary fighting against berserk robots.
Yes, robots. There you go.
Great.
I love it. This is good. No, let's this is nice.
Is this going to be the bit for the whole fucking episode?
Yes.
You should have said no.
This move meant that Capcom really had to nail Resident Evil 4, and this put a lot of pressure on Shinji Mikami, who wasn't exactly having the easiest time developing this much anticipation next entry in the franchise. At this point, Capcom had released a new fixed-camera Resident Evil game every year since Resident Evil 2. Concluding with Resident Evil 0 in 2002, zombies were stale, and Mikami knew it. If he was going to wait so long to release the fourth installment, it had to be big.
Yeah, yeah. At this time, literally the formula was repeat since 1996. Like, their theme didn't change. Yeah, and all the copycats were kind of moving on. Like, Silent Hill 2 was a big one, right? Like,
that was the biggest one after that kind of changed up.
Yeah, Resident Evil's kind of just doing the same shit.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But this is where the tale gets a little muddy, as Mikami was dedicated to making a definitive survival horror game on the GameCube. But he actually was not 100% sure how to get there. Of course, as Jim stated, he knew he had to forego zombies, as he felt people were just sick of them and the franchise couldn't evolve if they were tied to the hordes of the undead. And he knew he wanted the returning protagonist of Leon S. Kennedy headline the latest entry. But again, it took a few tries for things to come together completely. So the supposed first version of the game is known as the Fog version. This involved Leon S. Kennedy infiltrating Umbrella's castle-like headquarters and getting infected by the progenitor virus in the process, giving our protagonist a slew of abilities that we never got to see since the only footage of it is a cinematic trailer for E3 2003 and one really badass Game Informer article that I read like a motherfucker when I was a kid. Yeah.
My dad had a Game Informer, like, subscription.
Oh.
And that's my only memory of it because I was, again, very, very young.
Dude, I had stacks. Like, going from 2002 to, like, 2007, and I threw them away. Like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he used to bring them to school and be like, look. Uh-huh. Look at what they said.
Oh, yeah. I remember
Read the article.
I remember bringing this one to school.
You go, look, Nintendo's winning.
Don't look at the sales articles. Don't look at the sales numbers. Don't look at that.
That was all these guys argued about in high school. Was like,
Nintendo, PlayStation, Nintendo. Yeah,
Anthony's wearing a Nintendo shirt.
I'm wearing it right now.
All
right,
here, I'm about to show you this too.
They came around. He came
sorry,
around.
Sorry, it's not a visual medium right now, but
his titties are out.
Yeah, that's true. He literally just flashed everybody. Yeah, and his shirt's still off.
They're tattooed as the one-up mushrooms. I'm sorry.
But each one. Oh, God. That's fucking horrible.
Sorry.
But of course, elements of this, including a fog monster or variation of it, would look very similar to the Ouroboros that we would see in Resident Evil 5, which we're going to cover some other time. But yeah, I know. The fog version of the game was actually 40% complete before Mikami decided to scrap it and start all over from scratch. And it just wasn't the Resident Evil 4 he was thinking of, and the team needed a new direction. So the next installment was called the Hookman version of the game, which had direction from Resident Evil 3's game designer, Hiroshi Shibata, and had a lot more horror elements than even some of the original games, actually. And this is what you were talking about earlier. So
I feel like Resident Evil has had, like, the worst luck when it comes to, like, we made this, and we scrapped it. We made this, we did this, yeah. And then it just completely did not work.
But because of that, they've had the most success as well.
Exactly,
well,
yes.
I mean, they kind of realize, like, even if they realize, like, two-thirds through a game's development, they're like, this isn't working. Like, they are totally fine with, like, we'll just start over. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, as opposed to just being like, all right, we'll just put it out.
There are very few game developers that do that.
If only they would have did that to Resident Evil 6, though, am I right?
Oh, dude. We'll talk about that eventually. Yeah. Yeah, which is their best-selling Resident Evil game, so you know.
I know.
But this version of the game...
Ew.
God damn it, James. ...took on a more paranormal approach, having Leon navigate a haunted building setting that introduced paranormal enemies... Enemas? No. paranormal enemas!
Holy shit.
Is this how the Jerker gets his mind off?
Ectoplasm everywhere!
It's everywhere! It's just ectoplasm, I swear!
Such as possessed dolls and possessed armored suits, as well as a ghost-like hookman who stalked our hero throughout the journey. First footage of this was actually shown at the E3... that's wrong year. At E3 2004, it's a very good reception, but the game, again, it was just missing something in Mikami's eyes. He scrapped a lot of elements from the Hookman build, but he kept two major gameplay features that really stood out to him at the time. QuickTime events and over-the-shoulder aiming, two things that would prove to be major innovations for gaming, despite E3 audiences not realizing it quite yet. They just thought it kind of looked cool.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Was QuickTime events in Resident Evil 4 first or God of War first?
That, probably God of War, I would imagine.
Okay.
Yeah. Just it was also, I think, what was the other game? Indigo Prophecy or something? Before both of them.
Bam, son.
Yeah. That was the, whatever the Mass Effect developers were, not Mass Effect. Indigo Prophecy was the other one, though. Yeah.
It's Quantum Dream, asshole. Show respect.
Was it them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, was it?
Yeah, Quantum Dream.
Yeah, it was Quantum Dream. Exactly, yeah, it was Quantum Dream. So they actually...
I said that, like, right before you were talking. Asshole.
So they did them initially. So Resident Evil 4 was like a take on it. Where am I at? Fuck, I lost my spot, you motherfuckers.
That's what you get for mansplaining to your own friend.
Let's do it. Mikami deferred to main series writer Noboru, I always fuck up, Sugimura, and scenario writer This one's a hard one. Yasuhisa Kawamura, who developed a pitch for the hallucination version of the game. This version had Leon being stalked by a quote-unquote killer, who had similar mechanics to the Hookman, and took place in a scary castle-slash-laboratory, and had Leon accompanied by a dog while on a mission to find the secrets of the Umbrella Corporation, all while trying to save some weird, mysterious girl. So,
hey, there's that dog.
You seen
hey, there's that dog.
One-liner number
dang,
one.
And then imagine he would have to, like, choke out the dog.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, what happens to the dog?
Saw I Am Legend.
That's horrible.
You have to start singing Bob Marley. Fucking
Leon. I mean, Leon in that scene. Just
I haven't seen that movie and subsequently that scene in a very long time.
Is that a horror movie? I think it counts as a horror movie.
It does. I just wrote an article about it. It's technically a drama horror.
You said horror.
Yeah, it's horror drama. Forgot what else they tagged it with.
Action? Did you watch it for the article?
Huh?
Did you rewatch it for the article?
I've seen that movie like I don't know how many times.
Have you seen it recently?
Yes.
Does it hold up? Because I remember like, the CGI kind of being.
The CGI is kind of bad.
Okay. Mm.
But the general movie itself is good. And then I read about there's another alternative ending that I actually never seen. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I think I read about that too.
It's the one, it's the one that follows the book more closely.
Okay. The Omega Man. The Omega Man is the original.
That one, never
mind. You should do a Will
There's
Smith.
Another time.
You should do a Will Smith horror month, dude. No? Too much? All right.
Is there even enough?
Yeah, I was going to say, what horror movies are Will Smith
in? Wild Wild West, because it's so terrible.
Has a giant spider.
What's the one just came out with the sun?
I can't emphasize enough how much I would love
to So we're doing it.
That is the most garbage, amazing movie.
I love watching that movie.
That's pretty bad. If you do that, can you invite Phil, too? So he can put his cinema take on it?
He would do. He would just do the music video.
Do you know the backstory of that movie and why there's a giant spider?
Yes, I know exactly.
The producer, Joel Silver, wanted Kevin Smith to make a Superman movie. So he wrote the script, and that was the one that was supposed to have Nicolas Cage as Superman.
Oh, okay.
But he was like, he's going to fight a giant spider, and Kevin Smith was like, why the hell would he ever fight a giant spider? He would kill it in one punch. And he was like, no, there has to be a giant spider. And he was like, none of this makes sense. So they scrapped it, and then they turned it into Wild Wild West.
Mm-hmm. It's the same producer.
That's why they're like, we have to have.
Yeah, his giant spider thing was the only. He's like, I need a giant spider in whatever fucking movie I make.
I respect that.
Wow.
He went for his goal and he made it.
Then he also screwed all of us out of getting a Kevin Smith accurate freaking Superman movie.
Or did Kevin Smith not give us a spider and we could have got a good spider?
No.
I'm just kidding. No.
And then what was like, he wanted the Fortress of Solitude to be guarded by like two giant polar bears? So.
Yes.
What?
Yes, it was polar bears.
And Kevin Smith was like, this is just getting dumber by the second.
Yeah. Joel Silver, even on Man of Steel, like he's listed as a producer, but he was locked out of any creative decisions.
Good.
We'll take your money and we'll put your credit on the thing. Get the fuck out
but
of here.
Shut up.
That was the tale right there. So, cool. Hey, there you go. It's a fucking article writer over here. All right.
Anyway, go on with the board, Phil.
He said more than one word.
Yes.
Got him.
Three words. Wild, Wild West.
Wild, Wild West.
Wild, Wild West.
Okay.
Jesus.
Sorry.
I haven't seen that movie since I was like...
It was right there.
It's all like right.
I got you.
It's one of my hungover movies.
Hungover movies?
Yeah. You don't have a hangover movie? Like a movie that like if you're hungover and you just need to like lay on the couch, like be half asleep, be kind of like half dead.
That's pretty much everything.
Every bad movie I watch hangover.
It's not a bad movie, but for me, it's Sucker Punch.
Okay, I can see that.
If I just like need to just like I can follow the plot and like barely pay attention and just like lay there and just be like, it's Sucker Punch.
Forrest Gump.
Really?
Oh yeah, Forrest Gump.
What the?
How is that a hangover? Okay.
Yeah, because I know it like the back of my fucking hand.
That's a
just
masterpiece,
sit back.
You asshole.
Exactly. That's why it's good.
For me, it's action movies. It's Independence Day. It's Sucker Punch.
Oh, Independence
Punch.
Is a great hangover movie.
Yeah,
that's a great hangover movie.
I can't go to sleep to that. Then I just stay up.
I can fall asleep.
So then I'm like,
Speaking of expensive productions.
Sorry!
This particular version of Resident Evil 4 was deemed far too expensive for what they were looking for because development time was being crunched at this point. It never made it past the planning stages, and Mikami had to take over yet again, kicking Noboru and everybody else's ass out the fucking creative room. The team went back to their roots and spent months developing a version that featured some classic gameplay elements and the return of zombies. But their hearts were just not in it, and Mikami again scrapped this build. As a giant Ganado just fucking stomps over Alex's apartment right now, if you can't hear the cracking of the ceiling. Of course, this meant that they had to go back to the drawing board. If he was going to make a new Resident Evil, he was going to reinvent the franchise for real. And, of course, survival horror in the process. So, how'd this one turn out, James?
I don't know.
we'll figure it out, fucker.
I got nothing.
I need to know why you titled this one Bingo.
I'm gonna go Bingo.
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 Oh, I should have put Where Did Everybody Go? Bingo.
Wow. Oh, I get it.
That's where. You get it now?
I'm sorry. I was just thinking of the Clipper announcer that we used to have on Graveyard.
Yeah.
We had a guy we used to work with who used to just be like, Bingo.
Every time someone, one of the players hits a three, he goes, Bingo.
That's
pretty great.
I digress.
You're like,
we got to show you the video after this.
I thought it was a niche reference that only two people here would get. Jesus.
Yeah. Ultra niche. I was like, funny, but why is it funny?
Bingo! Watch. Yeah. There's like a super cut on YouTube. We're going to show that. Okay. And I've watched it several times. It makes me laugh. Anyway. Each version of the game prior to Mikami's new idea had some basis in traditional survival horror, and many still included the fixed camera angles despite having fully 3D environments. So it was decided that Resident Evil 4 would use the over-the-shoulder aiming for the entire game and go full third person. This was actually controversial among the staff, as many felt they were straying too far from the original formula, while others were excited to stay as far as they could from the original formula.
They're all not sitting with each other at lunch, just fucking staring each other down.
Right? It's like all clicky. Like there's one camp that is for it, one again.
That's like old people versus young people arguing. Yeah. Right? They're like, no, we shouldn't change it. They're like, fuck you.
So your lunch's not changing either, huh? You traditional bastard.
You piece of shit.
Old man yells at cloud type scenario.
Definitely. Mikami found himself constrained by always having the Umbrella Corporation as the main focus of the story. So we wrote a new story in 3 weeks. And removed the company almost completely, finding himself completely rejuvenated by that experience. This scared the hell out of the staff, as it was a huge risk, but Mikami knew what he wanted and assured them it would work out in the end.
This brilliant fucking story was written in 3 weeks.
That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty awesome. Brilliant story. Let's calm it down a little bit. I'm just saying, playing it again and you're older, you're like, man, this is a really cliche action.
Hold on. That's why it's cool.
There's some moments in that game where I'm like, really?
Shut your slanderous mouth.
I'm sorry, but there is moments. I'm like, really? This is where we're going? But I'm good. I'm good with this.
He wrote those great one-liners in 3 weeks.
Both
of you shut your mouths right now.
Alex is just like, whoa, there's a whole lot of session.
You shut up.
I'm just like, I really hope the mic is picking this up and we get screaming at each other.
He's gonna punch you right in the mouth.
Jeez.
Oh, sorry, I just had to say it.
This game truly has some of the best one-liners.
Of any medium, really.
Yeah, like, really.
Honestly.
Since zombies were now gone, he needed an enemy that was scary, but fun to shoot thanks to the new mechanics they had created for the game. This resulted in the Ganados, which were stronger and smarter enemies than traditional zombies, instead being villagers possessed by a mysterious virus called Las Plagas.
I got a question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony's Mexican. We're all Mexican here except Alex, but why is it fun to shoot Mexican zombies, Flynn? Why did you put that in there?
I'm from Spain.
I am offended.
They're from Spain.
They're
actually not, because Capcom fucked up and made them speak a Mexican dialect.
Yeah.
They gave them a Mexican accent, they put them in Spain.
I wish I would have memorized some of the sayings that they said. I can just, Matalo.
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 Ahí está. Ahí está. That's why I always say that. I'm like, what?
I'm just a little triggered right now that Fuen said it's fun to shoot thanks to the new mechanics, but I just really want to pick apart this.
Hashtag canceled.
I think the last.
But they were Spaniards.
I think the last four episodes I've been on, like, he's been painted as like a rapist and like a racist and like all these things under the sun.
I just roll the punches, baby. Let's go.
I think collectively everybody's trying to get Flint canceled, but it hasn't happened yet.
I'm not even going to say half the shit he says on the arena.
So
or the arena titles.
Yeah. So going back to our conversation about the amazing dialogue, it was also decided to make Leon far more quippy than his previous version, giving the characters far more one-liners. The voice actors recorded their lines in 4 recording sessions over a few months.
Yeah.
Wow.
4 weekends, essentially.
Damn.
just a new one a month. That's
they're,
it.
They're pretty great.
Yeah.
They knew they had to start the game off with a bang and developed an all-out assault scenario at the village in the beginning of the game that shut off the mechanics and let players know that this was not a traditional Resident Evil. The team previewed the scenario and premiered this new take on Resident Evil in an issue of Game Informer magazine, and the hype became higher than ever before.
This is when the one I brought to La Sierra. This is the one I brought. I totally brought it.
At this point, the Nintendo GameCube was not doing very well, but Mikami stated that if Resident Evil 4 was ever ported to a different console, that he would cut off his own head.
Likely story, because clearly his head's still firmly attached.
He's all talk.
I haven't seen him in a while. I'm just sitting. No, I'm kidding. 2 months before the premiere of Resident Evil 4, Capcom announced that they would port the game to the PlayStation 2. But now that Resident Evil 4 development was closing and the hype train was at an all-time high, it was time to show off the newest take on the survival horror 6 years after the 3rd installment of the franchise.
6 years. You look at his fucking eyes.
I know. There's some animosity.
I know. I'm just leading in. That's how I lead in.
No, it's not.
You can even talk into the mic. It's going to trail off and be like,
some of these titles that you're making, Flynn, I feel like we have to say that.
You have to say this.
Say it out. Say it out. Fucking
I mean, I think we should all take a moment to say it, though.
Everyone as a collective? Gets
yeah.
As a collective?
Well, no.
Wait, no, I think everyone do it.
Yeah, to see who has the sounding the best one.
Let's
because this one's an iconic quote, right?
Let's do
okay,
it.
Okay, ready? This section that Flynn gave me is called, "What Are You Buying?"
What are you buying? What are you buying?
Damn, Jimmy says.
What are you buying?
Mine is a little bit more Australian.
Jim said throat cancer.
He's like, what are you buying? What are you
buying?
Yeah, Jim said.
Don't talk during the MRI. He's going to turn into Gil. What are you buying?
What are you buying? Jesus.
I need this sale. Come on.
It's going to show me a Las Plagas.
Alex, you gonna do one?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have to do one. we broke Alex.
Alex.
Okay, don't put me under pressure, Jesus. No, I mean, for me, I was just going to do something funny and just be like, what are you buying?
There you go.
Little Mickey Mouse. Little Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Oh, what are you buying? Oh,
what are you buying? High price.
Hey, Leon, oh, what are you buying?
I gotta see if there's a mod for that on the PC.
You mod everything else but the fucking merchant.
What are you buying, huh? What are you selling, huh?
Alright, so when Resident Evil 4 finally made its way into the hands of critics in January of 2005, it demolished absolutely any expectations of what a video game could be. Not just survival horror, but gaming in general. And the reviews say it all. Of course, Ben gave me this fucking second.
Yeah.
Game Informer, which was...
I wrote this specifically for you.
God, you're such a petty bitch.
Yeah. He's all typing. This is for fucking 20 years.
Sorry.
Right now.
This is for high school, bitch.
He's all slamming his fucking period button down. All right, Game Informer, which was one of the most prestigious gaming publications at the time, gave Resident Evil 4 a 10 out of 10, saying, "There are no flaws in Resident Evil 4. It is the greatest horror game to date. I never thought a game, or a movie for that matter, could deliver pulse-pounding action in such an awe-inspiring way. This is just one out of the many perfect scores it received."
There's a lot of tens for this game. There's like a lot of tens.
I like to point out that Game Informer is no longer the prestigious.
Yeah, no, they lost. They lost it. But yeah. Back in 2000...
What happened?
I think they got bought by GameStop.
Yeah, and then honestly, other competition just kind
of
went over.
Because of that, just went out the window.
Because of being bought by GameStop.
Like, all 4 of you are like, this is what happened at the same time.
Well, because GameStop then tried to peddle their magazine as part of their subscription, which was really annoying. So it turned a lot of people off on reading it. Mm-hmm. Like, I had it for the deals when I used to buy a lot of video games and stuff. Yeah, but I fucking never read Game Informer.
Well, that and after the they got bought out, after a couple of years, they lost a lot of their staff. Mm-hmm. So all the big people behind Game Informer went on to other publications and YouTube channels and things like that. So it's just a shell. It's AV Clubs. Same thing with AV Clubs.
I was going to say, it sounds like an AV Club.
Yeah, they were so fucking good. And then corporate. They got corporate.
Corporate America, man.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing as it launched as a GameCube game, Nintendo Power chimed in with their own 10 out of 10 review, saying possibly the best console video game ever made.
That sounds like Nintendo Power, yeah.
And definitely the standard that horror titles will be measured by for years to come. It's funny though, because on the way over, I was listening to the last podcast on the left about the girl that got abducted by aliens.
And which were, one? Many episodes.
The most recent one, I think it was in maybe
December? The one who like fucked the aliens.
Yeah.
What?
But it was funny because they were literally making fun of it.
That's a good tie-in to like the story.
What was her name?
Hold on, rewind.
Kind of describe the
last podcast on the left. But no, this woman was just like, I was abducted by aliens. This alien was in love with me. We were very much in love, and we had crazy fucking sex.
Okay, episode 477, Elizabeth Clower.
That one.
I was on the way over, and it's fucking. They just literally were talking about, instead of saying come, they said, I'm gonna go.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah, that one was good. Great. That was good. All right, sorry. Back to Resident Evil 4. Speaking about coming and going, G4 TV, as well as their own X-Play, both
as their
gave,
show X-Play.
Oh, as their show
very
X-Play,
own X-Play.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I remember that show. My bad. Okay, G4 TV, as well as their own show X-Play, both gave Resident Evil 4 perfect scores as well, with the latter even ranking it as the best game they've ever played in a later episode.
Yeah. So X played the first review, and then they came back later on before they got taken off air, and they were like, okay, this is the best game we've literally played in our entire run.
Okay, all right. I'll give them props for that. A few outliers were IGN, which is 9.8, EGM, 9.8. Are they even around anymore?
EGM's done.
They're done. And GameSpot, 9.6, the first of which still called it the best survival horror game ever made.
Yeah, 9.8. Everybody's just like, oh, fucking 9.8.
At that point,
I thought we were particular about our ratings, and they're like, 9.7.
I know. It's
seven.
Like,
gaming at this time was straight up just like by the decimal.
That's crazy.
It was always the little things in it, but
that always
completely changed.
Just like, dude, just give it the fucking point 10. Just give it the 10. What's the point? Like, come on now.
I think that's where X-Play actually changed things up, because they got popular after all this, and they were like, no, it's out of 5.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it. People started kind of changing their tone from there.
That's crazy that they're just like, no, they just this little thing, I'm going to give it a 9.8.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Game Informer, or IGN in particular, was really well known for this back in the day.
They're like, that loading screen was like 2 seconds too long.
Yep.
9.8.
Really?
Yeah,
though.
On their ratings, they would break down the dumbest fucking things, and you're just like, the things that nobody would give a shit about.
Yeah.
I think even one person said too, like, they knocked the game because it was too hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
The difficulty, like,
but that's subjective, isn't it?
It is.
Difficulty is going to be subjective.
Oh, yeah, always.
I remember when it changed completely, though. IGN, they gave the Pokemon Ruby Sapphire remake a 7-something, and the review said too much water. And everyone, like, it became a meme online, on Reddit, on Twitter, everything was like, every review from IGN, 7, too much water, 7, too much water.
Even though the OG fucking GameCube Advance game had the exact same layout, and it all got fucking 9s and 10s.
Oh yeah, the Game Boy Advance one, exactly.
So
that meme killed the rating systems for like a long time.
As it should have. Too much water?
Too much water.
Elbows too pointy, dude.
Elbows
we're taking
too pointy
it back
right there.
By the way, everybody still talks shit on IGN and the rating system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, literally every game that they rate low, everybody goes, oh, so it's going to be a good game. Or the common comment is like, that company didn't pay IGN to give them a 10, so they're out of 10.
I love it when they call them 7GN.
Yeah. 7s and 8s is like what their standard is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All the time. And it's it. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So, RE4 managed to ship in several different versions. One of
that shipped. That's the only way they ship it around. Like, listen, have you had sex yet? No. Okay. Well, good.
Here's your Resident Evil copy, and here's a virgin for you.
That's funny. I just read the next sentence because I was going to ask you about this. But so one of the versions. I can't say that word. Versions. All right.
One of the virgins.
Okay. One of which had a chainsaw controller, which is impossibly hard to find right now.
I almost bought it like three years ago.
I remember seeing it when it came out. That shit fucking sucked.
I was gonna say, it looked so hard to play. Why would anyone want to play it? Like, I don't even get it.
I don't even remember the chainsaw controller. I remember.
It's like,
you Alex, had to... how much do those go for now? Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller? I gotta know.
Can you look that up real quick?
Can you look that up real quick?
And while we're at it, I'm gonna look up a picture of it because I just.
It was horrible. I just remember playing with it, and then like I was just like, "Yeah, fuck this!" Like, I'm just gonna put this somewhere, and I think I sold it like a couple months like Jesus later because I didn't know at that time it was gonna be like all, you know, expensive later.
Yeah.
Well, happy to announce, guys, it's on Amazon.
I just see one on eBay for $440.
$4.40.
No, $440. That's what it looks like.
Oh, now I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim? Oh, yeah, you have
it.
And weren't you supposed to move it?
No, it was just a controller, but it was, like, in the form of the chainsaw, so you would try to play, but you would have to, like, couldn't fucking grab it. It was stupid.
I have a $310, $339, $699, $599, and 99 cents with a $19.99 shipping.
wow. It's a really good condition.
I found one that's used for $100.
Hey! Well, all right, for the podcast.
Nice. Yeah.
No, not for the podcast.
It's for the podcast, Alex.
Right on. Fun's going to write it off. Okay, so still, the title was a huge hit on the GameCube, then another huge hit on the PS2 when it shipped there a few months later. And it became a big hit yet again on the Nintendo Wii with that... Oh my god.
Did I say it?
I'm sorry, on the Nintendo Wii with some sweet, sweet motion controls.
Yes. He couldn't just put one sweet.
He had to put two sweets.
Hey.
Which the motion controls for the Wii were crap, so I don't care what
they are. Nah, dude, those were great controls. They were so good.
For the RE4?
Yeah.
I didn't play with them.
I mean, generally,
I was just...
They are considered one of the best ways to play the game.
Shame.
Have you gone back and played it? It's fucking like your arm has to be pointed exactly at the screen.
You know how easily we could.
And you're like,
some of us have weak arms.
Clearly, fucking.
So Capcom was quickly realizing that no matter what, Resident Evil 4 was going to sell a ton on any system that it was featured on. So they pretty much released it on everything through later. Oh, I'm sorry. On everything, though later versions were based on the PS2 build as it featured the Separate Ways story expansion. Even a mobile version was released on iOS and the Zeebo. The fuck was the Zeebo?
What the fuck is the Zeebo?
Alex, you look that up again.
Yeah.
It was a weird cell phone game handheld hybrid.
Okay, so yeah, that was in 2008, which I agree was a weird time.
It was a weird time.
The Zeebo is a 3G-enabled entertainment and education system from Zeebo Incorporated. It enabled users to play video games and also connected to the internet, communicate online, and run educational applications. It looks like a traditional like console... Video game.
Huh. Yeah. I don't even remember that.
It looks ridiculous.
Man, we were on a weird... It was a weird time.
It's a weird time, dude. Obama!
Resident Evil 4 made its jump...
What the
fuck? Today!
Cancel this guy, please. Okay, so Resident Evil 4 made its jump to HD on 7th generation consoles and then again on 8th generation consoles. Hell, you can play it on the go on the Switch right now. It has been literally ported to anything and everything.
Anything.
Yeah. I mean, I got it on PlayStation 4, it's still getting ported.
Yeah.
It was on PS3, PS4, PS5. Like,
it's still getting ported. And now it's VR, which we're all talking about how we badly want to play.
Actually, that's the next sentence right here.
For 2 cents?
Shortly after. No.
There's even a VR version, which was built from the ground up, which is actually considered a contender for one of the best VR games ever made.
The best.
So as I was saying, there's a VR version of the game, right?
And then also, shortly after its release, the 2005 Spike Video Game Awards gave Resident Evil 4 its Game of the Year award, and it was just one of the many awards it earned by Mikami's next evolution in survival horror.
Yeah, so this is a pretty well-reviewed game, I'd say.
I'm not going to lie. I was like, I know Jim has the PS VR. Mm-hmm. I don't know of anyone that has an Oculus, like, gaming-wise, so I was thinking of taking the plunge.
Oh, I played it.
Thanks to... Oh, you played it?
My nephew has Oculus. Oh, I played Resident Evil 4 VR.
Is it worth it?
It's fucking amazing.
Okay.
It's really
you love
good.
This video game.
Yeah. As somebody who's played this game a million times, it really is like a whole weird new way of playing it. The controls are fantastic.
Because I was literally going to say, you know, Tax Return came in.
Dude.
And, you know, thanks Biden for the child credit.
There you go.
So it's a fatty child credit. So I'm like, you know, I was thinking of taking the plunge for a while.
The only thing that fucked me up is I have glasses.
So it kind of pokes on my head. My mom has the Oculus.
Yeah.
And I had the same issue where it's like trying to fit it over my glasses, mm-hmm. especially because I have dorky large glasses.
Yeah, same here.
No, you have rectangle glasses.
Yeah, but they crunch. They crunch in no matter what. And, I mean, the thing is, that because I have the temples right there and they put it on, it's kind of painful to play for a long time.
I think you have a big head.
Yeah, probably that too. But, no, you have a big head.
He's got a tiny head.
Yeah, compared to this guy over here? Oh, boy.
Nothing to see here. People, move along.
But on the note, the VR version plays incredibly well. If I didn't have glasses, it would probably be a lot better because I could play for longer.
Yeah, so I tried playing like various games on it, and after a while, I got one. Motion sick. And two, I was just like, with the glasses, it's really hard to see.
Probably. Yeah, because if it misaligns, you're not seeing everything correctly.
I think that's why I got motion sick.
That's probably it.
I might take the plunge and get it. Just, we'll see what happens.
I will say it translates the controls incredibly well.
Yeah.
And you can move and shoot. You don't have to sit and just wait for them. So.
Also, it's like the other.
But it makes the enemies more aggressive, too.
Well, when I was looking it up today, too, I saw that they're getting a free Mercenaries mode over the summer. So right there, I was like... thinking about
VR Mercenaries one?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, and it's kind of cool. Graphically, it's the same style. You're just seeing literally everything right in front of you. It's a whole new experience. Worth playing for sure.
I might think about it.
Well, as we've probably already mentioned, Resident Evil 4, again, kind of changed the game forever. The over-the-shoulder viewpoint and precision aiming became a stand for pretty much any game that featured any kind of action. Capcom's extensive motion capture, actually, it expanded tremendously throughout the industry. Because, I don't know if people realize this, but the motion capture in Resident Evil 4 also set the standard for a lot of games later on. Capcom put a lot of money into it. And elements of Resident Evil 4 were adopted in many future game franchises, including Gears of War, Mass Effect, and Dead Space. All great fucking games.
Ooh, we have to cover Dead Space.
So. Yeah,
Dead Space is a great game.
That's good. Yeah.
That remake's coming out soon.
I know.
What?
Yeah. Remake. Let's do a remake.
You hear about that?
No.
Yeah.
Full next gen.
What do you got now over here, Alex? What do you got?
Series. The One X.
Ooh, I think it's only coming out for the next gen.
Whatever.
Series S.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, developers for games like The Last of Us and BioShock have actually gone on to cite RE4 specifically as a major influence on their work.
Hell, even God of War did.
Sure. Yeah. That's right, the new one, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Corey Balrog, mm-hmm. talking all about it.
The sheer number of ports actually influenced the remastering trend in gaming we still see today. Well, this and Skyrim, which actually came out 6 years later. So those two games are the reason why we have so many remasters, because they just sell like a motherfucker. Me owning a bunch of different versions of Skyrim, and I'm going to get the next one, too. So, yeah.
Jesus.
Game Informer called...
Because it has fishing?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that was a free update.
Oh, okay. Now you can sit there and just fish for hours.
Ooh. I tried.
To fish?
No.
Oh, you're not about the Skyrim?
I tried Skyrim. Like, I'm trying to get into it, but I'm just like, it's too much. There's too many options.
It's so much. There's so much in that game. Yeah.
I had issues with Fallout. It was too open world. Like, this is, like, too much.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, yep.
But Game Informer called Resident Evil 4 the most important third-person shooter ever, citing its influence on both survival horror games and shooters in general. Hell, Leon Kennedy's one-liners and the merchant character are both modern-day meme fuel.
Hey, I'm pretty sure parodies.
Yeah. That's parodies. That's a
not parodies
and paradise. Yeah.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
Or parades.
Paradise
and paradises. Paradise. Of Resident Evil
4. And parodies of Resident Evil 4 have been prevalent since the dawn of YouTube. Actually, Mega 64 did a great one. We all shared with each other for years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Remember that one? The fucking what was it?
He's like, what are you buying? He's like, we sell pizza here. Ah, oh, my God.
So the context of the video is the merchant going
I understand.
Oh, yeah? He was in Costco.
It was so fucking funny.
I'm familiar with the, like, cultural impact of the merchant character. Oh, yeah. I'm not an entire...
we also had to show you that video because it's so funny.
I'm pretty sure that video came out when we were, like, in fucking high school.
Maybe after.
If you're talking about the dawn of YouTube, I was there for that.
These are just guys that specifically... They did parodies of all really huge video games.
You know how nowadays you see people doing the Mario Kart things where they would like drive a go-kart and throw shells? These people were doing that way
back when.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Like they parody Luigi's Mansion. He goes on this ghost tour and he has a hand vacuum. It's so funny. And they're like, "Sir, can you stop doing that?" And he turns around and he's like, mm.
I think they even paired Metal Gear where the guy would just walk around with the metal box and just sit there.
My favorite one, though, is he's the L from Tetris. And he can't see, so he's like walking around trying to fit places. Yep. And he fucking gets hit by a car. It's so funny. It's pretty great.
In the Mercy one, though, he gets arrested at the end. Gets arrested.
And then it shows that you died. So
people
good.
Finally got tired of shit. They're like, all right.
That's great. But, you know, again, because we can't do Letterboxd reviews, this is not featured on there.
We forgot the E.
Yeah, and the U... What? Oh, no, that's how it's spelled.
That's how it's spelled.
Yeah. Don't worry.
Holy shit. I stand corrected.
But it's boxed.
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 And, of course, the reviews on Metacritic are all redundant as hell, actually. So we'll just sum it up with the recent fan reception with user Elite4's 10 out of 10 review, which states, quote, "A masterpiece of the Resident Evil franchise, a masterpiece of Nintendo and Capcom, an innovative game of action and survival horror, an excellent gameplay, an exciting story, and the best, a brave hero. Leon Kennedy for Smash Brothers."
Did Sorry, you buddy. Write this?
No, that was from 2013, so he won it in 4, actually.
Why the fuck is it a masterpiece of Nintendo? Because they gave him money? Did Nintendo give him money?
I think Nintendo helped early on. Right, yeah.
I think it's because they bought like the rights for it. So that's why.
They had the temporary exclusivity. All that shit.
So this was like the last time Nintendo did something good as far as, I guess.
No, they...
They gave a game of this nature.
Before they started suing everyone for fucking...
For copyright? Yes.
Oh, damn.
Oh, boy. Yes, the game is innovative. I'm trying to jump in the line. Fuck you. The game is innovative, but its success has been considered a blessing and a curse, at least for Resident Evil fans. So for the next few years, Resident Evil would go through a major identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Action games, budget horror games with action, straight to DVD movies. There was a lot going on immediately following Leon S. Kennedy's excursion in rural Spain, and all with wildly varying reviews. Resident Evil's high rating streak would soon be challenged thanks to Capcom's desire to capture general audiences. But again, we'll talk about that wild new direction for the series. When we cover Resident Evil 5 and 6 in one episode, probably sometime next season. For now, let's talk about Leon Kennedy for Smash. Or the game itself. We can do that.
When are you going to do the spin-off games? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
We can do that. I think all of them.
Is Zero technically a spin-off or is that a prequel?
It's still a spin-off.
Because Veronica's technically not a spin-off either. That's actually supposed to be a sequel and then they made it into like...
But they categorized it as a spin-off.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, because it's not directly like...
Because I know Revelations are spin-offs.
Yeah.
And those are good.
Just whatever you do, don't talk about those fucking horrible Operation
Raccoon City.
Revelations on 3DS.
Revelations was the shit.
Yeah, it was.
That was a great.
That was the first time they brought back like the traditional horror aspect.
Yeah,
and I was like, all right, they're doing it again. Yes,
They mixed it with Resident Evil 4 style shooting, which was insane.
Yeah.
Like it was like, oh, you can be scary and do RE4. Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, let's just roundtable this bitch. So, thoughts on Resident Evil 4, and what is your history with the game? Let's start with Brisnella.
Yes.
Before a good game.
No, I think I watched Alex play back in the day, and then I went to your house and played a little bit, I believe, because I didn't have a GameCube at the time.
Cordova.
Yeah. No, sorry.
I babysat Alex back in the day.
She was like 10.
And She's a really good game.
So actually, what was funny when it got ported to a PS2, and then I had some roommates later on that bought it. The scene in which you fight the giant fish, shark, whatever it is.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So when
the lake monster.
Yeah, the lake monster.
Too much water.
So we convinced our buddy who was playing it at the time to shoot the water with the shotgun. We're like, it's a trick. Yeah. And if you do that, it'll make the fish easier to beat. So he does it like a dumbass, and then he gets eaten. Yeah. And he didn't save his game, so he had to go a little bit further back. So he got really mad. We laughed. It was funny. But no, I mean, I love Resident Evil 4. I'm currently playing it right now on PS5.
Man.
And yeah. So, I mean, I've played it like since it came out. Every like port, I've also just like, I'm gonna buy it and I'm gonna play it. Mm-hmm. It goes on sale for like $5-$10. I'm like, yeah, that's happening. So,
like, I can buy a Popeye's chicken sandwich or Resident Evil 4, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's, I mean, I love this game. It's not my favorite, but yeah.
What is your favorite?
I would say my favorite now is Biohazard.
Yeah, Resident Evil 7.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's up there. Yeah.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna be a bigger man here and say that back in the day, I was chapped that Resident Evil 4 was going to be GameCube exclusive, because back in the day, I didn't have a GameCube. I had a PS2 and an Xbox, mm-hmm. right? I had the PS2. My brother had the Xbox. We never got a GameCube just because, I don't know, it just didn't fit our scheme. We had friends that had GameCubes. We had friends that would bring that would bring Smash Brothers Melee and stuff like that. But yeah, I remember I was just hyped beyond belief when it became known that it was going to be ported to the PS2, because the PS2 is literally still, what is it now, 2 decades later, it's still the best-selling console of all time.
Yeah. The only thing that came close was the
Nintendo DS, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So, I mean, it would have been extremely dumb to not port it over there, but I remember when they did port it, it wasn't as powerful as the GameCube.
Yeah.
But at the time, I didn't really care because I got to play it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it came with that special extra side story.
The separate ways?
Yeah, the separate ways, which is whatever. I mean, it was only like a 2 to 3 hour campaign.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But I mean, I'm in the same boat as everyone else. Like, literally, when it comes out on something, I want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it on the Switch just because I have it on my PC, which means I can put it on the Steam Deck, which is what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, there you go. You got portable no matter what.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was saying earlier in the episode, you know, I had it on the iPhone 3GS of all things. I bought it on my PC, my PS2, my PS3, my PS4, my PS5. It's just like one of those games that you just have to play. And if you call yourself a gamer, you have to experience it pretty much. Because you can see the roots of that game in every other game going forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, God of War. I mean, even the new God of War, the 2018 one. Over the shoulder, back behind the head. You know, I mean, the back of Kratos. That's from Resident Evil 4. Gears of War. Uncharted.
Uncharted, Headspace, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Uncharted's all these, you know, Mass Effect. All of them, like you said. They're all take inspiration from that aiming system. And, I mean, it's, you know, there's talk of, I don't know if you have it in there, but there's talk of a remake that I don't know.
We're gonna save it for later.
But I'm like, yeah, I don't really know how you can remake a masterpiece like that besides updated graphics. But, you know, the gameplay still holds up fucking 15, 18 years later. It's crazy.
I mean, you say that, how can they remake a masterpiece? Well, they remade 2 and it was fantastic.
That's true. Because two was a masterpiece.
But two was made the old school way, right?
That's a good point.
But when they remade 2, what did they do?
They completely
remade it like 4.
They remade it like 4. It plays like 4, but with
So they're going to remake 4 and make it like 2.
Remake 4 and make it like 7.
That's Resident Evil Village. That's Village.
If they make this game as scary as fucking 7, I'm out.
That'd be good.
Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, same thing for me. So again, to provide context, same situation as Cordova, except a little different. My brother had the Xbox, I had the GameCube. So we were both like, we had those two consoles in our home, but the PS2 didn't fit in because the DVD player was already in the Xbox. So
I think I got the wrong Alex, because I said him, I think it was Carbajal who I played. He had a GameCube.
Yes,
I think
it
went to GameCube. That's another Alex.
Mm-hmm. So many Alexes.
There's too many of you.
So many Alexes, yeah.
I'm the one who spells it different, though.
So
Giselle, there can be only one.
Speaking of Carvajal, though, him Hector, when the game first launched, day one, him, Hector, my friend Jose, and me, we got it, and we went into someone's garage. And we remember we first booted it up, we all saw the reviews, we're like, oh, this is fucking exciting. And then they all made me play the game first. And again, we talk about how innovative this game is. No one had played an aiming system like this ever.
Yeah.
So it was a complete learning curve. So like, hey, Anthony, just, you know, you're the one most excited to fucking play the game. I'm like, okay, cool, I'll play the game. I got my ass kicked in that village part so bad.
I was going to say, what on the GameCube, how was it aiming? Was the aiming on the left stick or the C-stick?
Oh, no, it was on the left stick with hold R.
But you hold the R.
Yeah, you hold R to ready to...
Yeah.
Okay.
It was annoying.
Yeah.
It was awkward.
It was very annoying.
Yeah. But I remember the first time going to the village, because I had read that game from an article a million times and described it. I'm like, I think I know what I'm getting into. And when that chainsaw... When you first hear that shit rev, my god. Like, the panic, everybody's screaming at me playing the game. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know what to do. And I remember going in the middle of the village, and, like, somebody throws an axe, and I just shoot the axe out of the sky.
Yeah.
But it had a physics where you can shoot it before it hits you, and it landed on the ground. I'm like, and, like, the gasp in the room was like, you can do that in games?
Yeah. I think the only other game to come close to that was Metal Gear Solid 2.
Where it had kind of similar mechanics.
Where you can shoot, if a guy has a grenade on his back, you can shoot the grenade and it blows
up. Oh, yes. Yeah,
or you can do the, if the you guy, can shoot their walkie-talkies,
you can,
so they can't
call. You can shoot
the
walkie-talkies, like, you can shoot the fire extinguisher. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I mean, at the time, it's like the only games back in the day was like, you just point and shoot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They never had that thing where you could say, you pop a Ganado in its knee, what's he going to do? He's going to fall on the ground, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like,
the momentum of the character gets affected by your actions, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, again, it's something that we all learned in the garage, huddled over a CRT at the same fucking time. And we all took turns trying to take out this village. And then it came back to me, and I beat it. And I got Leon's Legendary, where everybody go, bingo? Like, fucking life. But I knew then that I'm like, okay, this is like nothing I've ever played before.
Yeah.
And again, I play this game once a year. I buy it on every fucking console I have. This is literally like probably my favorite game of all time. It's this, Breath of the Wild, Mario 64. Those three games are like top tier.
Weird. But, all Nintendo exclusives.
Huh? Yeah. Former Nintendo exclusive right here. But
look at that fucking Charmander looking at you all disgusted.
I know, dude.
Right now.
He's happy. He's fucking happy.
You don't put a Pokemon in there.
But honestly, this to me, it's one of the most innovative games ever made. Resident Evil franchise, as we've talked about in many episodes already, has a special place for me because I'm a horror fucking person to my core. And horror games, we all grew up. Total horror. But we all grew up with the evolution of horror games, and this really was like a staple for it. So yeah, anywhere it comes, I'm playing it. I played the fucking VR version. Like, honestly, this to me is just one of the greatest games ever made, and I will continue to play it. But honestly, the pacing, the cinematics, it's a classic. Like, just down to its core. So that's my diatribe here. But Jim?
I remember when the game came out, I think my buddy was living with me, Bob, and we both bought the game. And at the time, like, kind of the same thing where, like, we got home, we bought the game, we got the stupid little controller, I didn't fucking play with it. And then, because I just went straight to the game, it was like, this is unholdable, whatever.
If only you knew.
And, yeah, if only I knew at the time.
Could have made $600 right now.
Sell that for $4 right now. Yep.
And so we started playing, and like at that time, like any horror game that came into the house, I would strictly play it first. Because everybody was always like Bob would be like, hey, nah, I don't want to play that. I'll watch you play it. And I'll be like, you're a dick. Because like you'd always sit there and you'll sit in the back and you'd be like, don't go in there. And he was just kind of like, you know, commentary. And I was like, can you shut up? Because I don't want to go in there. What the hell, you know? And so like, we're playing, like, so Resident Evil came out. And at the time, I think we were just finishing up the old game. So we're like running through all of them. And I think it was something that me and Bob were arguing. We're like, you can't be Resident Evil 2 on a speed run. And then the game came out. We're like, fuck it, let's play all of them, and then we'll play this game. And so we played that game. And I remember we were taking turns, and then we got to the village part. But the best part that reminded me the most of that whole game was when you get to the castle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you play the stupid little aiming game. I think it's Salazar is the main guy. And you play that stupid little fucking aiming game that goes through. It's the gun shooting range game.
Oh, don't edit. I just saw him do it, dude. I just saw him right in front of my eyes. Do not edit.
Let Jim tell his story.
So I remember we were doing that, and then like That was like one of my biggest accomplishments. I remember sitting there and trying to get every single little freaking trophy, little icon, whatever it was, those little trophies that you would get. And we sat there in that mansion forever getting that. And we're like, dude, we played this game way too long. We're just going to start buying the RPG. We're killing every single boss now. And we're done. So, and so, yeah, I mean, that game, like you said, like all you guys said, it was a staple in my generation of playing games. And to this day, I buy it on every console. I have it on PlayStation. I have it on Nintendo products. I have it on PC products. If I can get it on handheld, I get it on handheld. I think I got it on, like, my phone at one point. I was like, fuck. And I was like, this sucks.
So, it's not as good on the phone.
It just didn't work. But it was like, I had to try this. And so... And I, you know, it's one of those games that can't, you know, they're doing the remake
I'm gonna buy it day one.
And I'm gonna buy it day one as well. And then in whatever next release, I'm gonna buy it, but not for the PSVR, apparently. Dicks. So, but yeah, I mean, that game has so many memories, and to this day, I still go back at least, maybe not once a year, but I go back like every maybe 2 years to play it. Because I go on like a hard manager, I play Silent Hills and stuff like that, and then that's always one of the games that.
Yeah,
it has to be played within my horror like gameplay. So
I feel like I play like the beginning. I'm like, fuck, I gotta beat it now.
Yeah,
I gotta beat it now.
Yeah.
Alex, what's your take on Resident Evil 4? Having never played the game, but hearing people fanboy about it for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
No. I've never played it. I watched a YouTube video about it about an hour and a half ago. It looks cool.
Should
have just been like, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. It was going to come to me, and I was just going to be like, looks cool. But no, it looks super fun. And I didn't know any of that cool history. I didn't realize how influential it was, especially for some video games that I have played and I love.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love BioShock. I love Dead Space. Like, those are all video games that I know and love. So... I will play it.
Did you ever beat 2? The remake?
I have it, but I haven't played it yet.
Did beat 7.
No,
right?
I still need to beat 7.
Oh, shit. I'm telling you, we can make some shit happen where Alex needs a live stream playing Resident Evil 7 and she can become more popular than Phil. I guarantee it.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
No, yes. my goal is to play, or when I'm playing Village. I would like to try my hand at streaming that. Oh, but
I want to see you take on the opening of Village for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to see that.
We'll see. I definitely think I can handle playing and a chat better than Phil can.
Ooh. Oh! Hold on, I gotta pause.
Instagram stories. Chat, how do you feel about this?
Damn.
And that's my shit talking.
You suck, Phil. He's gonna be like, son of a bitch.
Well, no, because every time we talk shit, he records himself listening to us talking shit and posts about it. So I gotta give him content since he's not coming up with it himself.
Damn.
It's like, he's gonna post it. I'm not gonna do what you think I'm gonna do. Just freak out, man.
No, actually, his stream is quite
fun. I know, it's fun. I actually like the chat. The chat's fun.
Yeah. Even if it's like, okay, hold on, I gotta pause.
Pause. What did you guys say like 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, it's already gone past. What a guy.
But no, it seems really fun. I'll have to play it. I'm almost done with 7. I've been in the same spot for a while because around Christmas time, Anthony got me a Switch, so I'm just like, ooh, Stardew Valley.
Which is also a fun game, yeah.
It's just soothing, and that's what I needed.
So we gotta do Stardew Valley mixed with Resident Evil 4. That's a good concept right there.
Yeah. There are a couple, like horror farming games.
Oh yeah. There's a couple out there.
What? Like, shit.
They're all indies, but they all...
I don't know. I'm getting really into, indie video games right now. I don't know why, but they're all really fun.
When I sold my Xbox 360, I had, like, nearly 50 indie games on there.
Oh, you had a bunch back then.
I bought, like, so many indie games.
Xbox Arcade.
Because they were fucking good.
There's also, like, some demos that, like, I've been watching a lot of Markiplier.
There's so many good indie developers now. Yeah. Man. Like, even they started then, and, like, they just keep getting better.
It's just so cool, and I'm just like, wow, you can, like, make a video game.
You need to play a Plague Tale. Because
I'm actually started playing that.
That's easily one of the best indie games like ever made.
Okay.
Oh my god, you would love that game.
I was talking shit saying, what the fuck is this? Renaissance fucking French? And then like Jim's like, shut the fuck up and play it, and then I played it. And then like 45 minutes later I'm like, huh, this story's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm like, what the fuck is this? They sound like they got peanut butter on top of their mouths. And he's like, shut the fuck up and play it. And then I did, he's like,
That's a good James impersonation. Shut the fuck up and play it.
I mean, shut the fuck up and play it.
So I was literally, 10 minutes into it, I'm like, man, they all speak in French. I don't know if I can handle this. And he's like, he just
I can do that.
He just texted back and said, just shut up and play. And then I did it. And then like, half an hour later, you can see my group chat. I'm like, huh, all right. This story's getting pretty good.
That story is amazing. That is also getting a sequel, but I don't know. I think the sequel is going to be expanded into like a full game. Because the first one was like good, but very short in comparison to like a...
That's
very
indie. Yeah. I need short.
Then play the first one.
Yeah, play the first one. You'll be able to knock it out.
And it's not...
How long did it take you to beat Resident Evil 7?
Probably the hours, I would imagine it's like 10 or 11, but...
Yeah, I think mine was like...
But
it's been a very, like...
Well, I kept getting scared. So I stopped playing for like... I'd play for an hour and a half and like stopped for 2 days. And I would come back and like, okay, I can do this.
I played until it got dark outside and I was like, you know, I'm good.
See, I only play when it's dark outside.
Yeah, so
I tried playing it when it was dark and I put my headphones on. I was like, nope.
Yeah.
I don't think I could play it with headphones because, I mean, obviously you guys are sitting on my couch right now and like you would be on this TV. So I'm far enough removed from it that I can at least like kind of like flinch away and it's not the end of the world. But
oh, you need
then
that.
I tried playing it on VR.
VR.
And I had the headset on and I was like, if there's any like person around me, do not... Like, I would tell, like, my family, get away from me, because you're going to get hit. Because if I freak out, I'm just going to swing. I'm just doing this right now. I have the strap on. I'm good, but
Jim's
I'm going to swing.
Kid pops up behind him. Hi, Dad.
Don't touch me.
You're not going to lose a zombie.
Oh, shit.
I have not played it. I'm excited to play it after this conversation.
Okay, thank you. The franchise has been known to this point for its scares. Fuck you guys. But Resident Evil builds tension in a different way than most, you know. Would you count this as survival horror? Or what elements of this game in particular make it scary? Is there anything scary?
I'll take this one.
Look, four words.
For me, it's not. Never was about being scary. I would say the scary aspect of it... in quotation, scary is the amount of people that come at you.
Like attention with all that.
Attention with all that, but as far as it being scary, no. And that's why it's not my favorite. It's a great game, but it's never going to be my favorite because for me, when I think Resident Evil and growing up with them and then what Biohazard is, I love the scary elements to it. Like, I love freaking the fuck out. And Resident Evil 4 never was that for me. Yeah. But you do get, like... bombarded, especially in the beginning of the game, you get bombarded and you get freaked out. And you're like, oh shit, what do I do?
And your movement's limited too.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, like, when you kill one of them and the shit comes out of it, and then, you know, they're not dead yet. So you're like, crap. So you got to keep shooting and it just doesn't stop. So, as far as that's concerned, that's what's scary because you get overwhelmed. Yeah. But as far as it being a horror game, I don't really feel like it really is. It's just action survival for me, not so much in the horror.
It has like an horror aesthetic, but it's not necessarily a horror game in a true sense.
No, and not obviously like the traditional Resident Evil and the new Resident Evil games. So,
yeah, I've never been scared in a Resident Evil game until I played 7. So,
yeah.
4
Hold on. Like, you're telling me you didn't freak out when you first had the dogs jump through the window?
Or the crows coming in that room.
That's a jump scare. That's like a tension scare. I'm talking about, like Fuen said, where I was literally had to pause the game and say, what the fuck am I playing right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was Resident Evil 7.
7 was the first time I did that.
Yeah, but 4, like James said, there are some like weird points of it, like the what do they call the regenerators? The ones that fucking you just hear like crawling noises.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys are freaky, but like as a point where I had to stop what I'm doing to play, that hasn't happened to me until 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But 4, I mean, like he said, survival horror sounds a little like, I mean, it's an action horror.
Yeah.
To where like, okay, I have a gun and like you said, like, yeah, hearing a chainsaw in a village where you don't know where the guy's coming from, and then oh shit, he's right behind you, and he cuts your head off. Yeah, that's cute, but now the next time when I respawn,
I know what I'm looking for, right? Yeah.
When it came to 7, if I heard whispers in my fucking headset, I'm like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, fuck this game. That's different. That's a different type of horror.
Alex is immediately recalling that.
Well, no, it's just like, I couldn't imagine playing like with a headset. Like, I would like just even the sounds just from being on my television. I'm like, oh, that will look good.
And then, as we discussed before, everybody got here, just wait until you play that certain part in eight.
In eight.
And then,
yeah.
And then you're going to be crying in the shower for a couple weeks.
As soon as that, I already knew. I was like, yeah, I know what
you're talking about. Everybody knows that spot.
It's not okay at all.
Fuck that spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fuck that spot. I know exactly what spot they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like, what he said, when we were talking about pausing it, I paused it and I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me right now.
You guys keep telling me about this and you're so good at not actually telling me what it is.
Yeah, because we're not going to ruin it for you.
I can't wait till you stream that section because you're going to know exactly what it is. Is this a fucking spot? Is this a spot? I can see it right now.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I'm already bothered thinking.
Yeah, we all cringe right now. But and then coming back, I agree. It is action horror. It's not survival horror. You're the only time you're ever low on stock or ammo is because the game has an AI that will give you items based on how bad or good you're doing. So if you're doing really good, you get a shit amount of items. But if you're doing poorly, they're going to give you what you need to get the job done.
Yeah.
This game is so goddamn dynamic, but
I got very efficient with the knife.
Yeah, see? And the game knows that. And they're like, oh, he doesn't need bullets anymore. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah.
But the regenerators did fuck me up a little bit. Like, those guys were fucking scary. And also because when I first played it, I was a cheap bastard. I didn't buy the infrared. So they just kept coming at me.
You need that.
Yeah, I know. I had to run back to the merchant like, oh, can I get this fucking... Yeah. So, but to me, it's not seriously scary. What James said, the tension comes from being overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And Leon is limited. He's not like a super soldier. Like he can't move and shoot.
He's not my boy Chris Redfield.
No, he's not Redfield. I mean, no, his aiming like sways when you aim. Like there's other elements that make it so you're not 100% ready for everything. But you know, once you get the mechanics down, you can handle it. But the tension comes from the random spurts of violence just thrown at you.
Yeah.
But to me, like that is another reason why this game innovates, because other games, especially horde modes, took that philosophy and created whole gameplay systems around it. So, you know, it's not scary in the context of modern gaming, just took what it did and expanded upon it. Mm. So, you know, what you're experiencing is an old school, a prototype version of shit that we see all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not necessarily horror. It's horror in the sense that it's a Resident Evil game that tells a Resident Evil story and has a lot of monsters.
Yeah.
That's what's horrifying about it. Actually, and that's why Village takes a lot of influence from this game, and you can definitely see the DNA there.
Yeah.
But again, Village also has that one part where they're like, but I know you guys like horror, so here's 30 minutes of fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, they said
they
actually dumbed down the horror in 8 because 7 was so bad for people.
Oh,
and,
really?
And I'm like, man, can you imagine what 8 would have been if they didn't dumb it down?
Mm-hmm.
Fatal Frame?
Dude, the part with the field and the scarecrow in 8, I was like, God damn it! Yeah, there's too much stuff going on in that. But yeah, there's a lot of really horror stuff.
By the time this episode is released, the remake of Resident Evil 4 could already be announced. We're not sure yet. But isn't, of course, at the time of this recording. What are you guys hoping for in the upcoming remake of Resident Evil 4?
Like I said, because of like now that they've given us back the horror element, I want them to make it scarier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they make it scarier, I think that's what's going to elevate it. Because, I mean, even Resident Evil 2, like, the remake was really good, but they made it way more horror because, like, the updated graphics and then, like, bodies falling from the roof. And, like, you walk around, there's blood. You're like, fuck. Like, you get freaked out.
Yeah.
And the way it's dark.
The way just like Resident Evil like, sway, too.
Yeah,
like, you're trying to shoot them, and they're just, like, swaying, and you're like, oh, shit, I missed.
Yeah,
like,
so for me, they handled that really well, but making a much darker game, I mean, just one, dark in general, like everything's dark.
Just adding guts and gore and bringing it more to like, how do you say, more grounded for people to be like, oh snap.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard rumors that they're gonna put the entire beginning part of the remake at night.
Yes. That's what I heard also.
The very beginning is going to be all at night.
Good.
Which, again, if you can imagine what we were talking about, the chainsaw, but updated graphics and hearing that, and then it being dark and really not knowing
what's going on. And you only having your fucking flashlight?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
So Add the horror elements back to it. Make it the same thing, essentially. Give us that the same one-liners. Give us updated graphics. Give us the same type of enemies, but make it darker and just make it a little bit scarier. That's what mostly I want from
it. Well, on the rumor front, too, so what's been leaked, quote-unquote, so far is that the prototype shit that we're talking about, they're implementing some of that into the main game.
Makes sense.
So
okay.
Possibly Hookman, possibly the possessed dolls, possibly all this other shit. Progenitor stuff, all of that might be a part of it.
I hope they do like a... It'd be cool if they put like a Mr. X slash...
Well, Nemesis. That was a Hookman.
Yeah, so if they add that to it and they make a guy hunting Leon throughout the...
I don't know. I think that's going to be too much.
So I agree, but like I feel cool. Like maybe something like in the sections of the game, right? Yeah. Where you go to the village, the castle, and so on. Like if you add that to like one of those big sections, like the village, right? Yes. Or like add it to the castle where you're like, fuck, really I got to do this.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be too much because if you have that asshole chasing you, and then you're trying to kill regenerators at the same time, it's too much. It's going to be too much. So
I think Resident Evil 2 did, the remake did, Mr. X perfect.
Yes.
Oh, Resident Evil 3 remake or the Nemesis was...
It was...
They missed the mark totally on that.
Yeah. They tried to go too much as Mr. X at that moment. I was like, you're putting too much off of that right now.
I enjoyed the Nemesis more in the OG Resident Evil 3 than the remake Resident Evil 3.
Yeah.
This one was a little more too sci-fi.
Projected. Like, he was only in certain sections. It was pretty by the numbers compared to, like, Mr. X is organic as hell.
Yeah. And then, of course,
the people that bought it made Mr. X something different.
Thomas Strange was like, one of the best ones.
Yeah.
And then the songs where his X is going to give it to you, which is great. Every time he walks into the room.
Shrek was a good one.
Shrek was good. One of the things I really hope that they change on it, or, like, something that I've seen some remakes do, which I really appreciate, like, Final Fantasy, was bringing those characters that were like kind of like one dimensional and actually giving them more detail, Luis, you know? Like, I would always, there's times where Luis, I was like, man, it'd be great if I get to play like a Luis section. What the hell happened to this guy?
Because he's like in and out.
Yeah, he's just in and out. And then, like, at the end, like, and then again, I know this game's like years, spoiler, but like at the end, you kind of like, oh, that's all we get. That's how he fades away. And then the same thing is like maybe change up, like give us a little more dynamic on like Ashley and give us like not just an escort mission. Or, like, one little, like, where you get to play with her. It's, like, I would prefer, like, more detail or more, like, what can she do? What can she offer to the team now?
Give me a playable merchant. That's all
I got. There you go.
She comes equipped with ballistics, dude.
There you go.
Yeah,
compared to fighting Leon Kennedy hitting on a 17-year-old. That's a little intense.
So from the rumors also, so there's two other rumors that have been around for this game, or leaks. They say leaks, but... Ada Wong's Separate Ways campaign is supposed to be integrated with the rest of the game. You're going to have sections where you get pulled out as Ada.
I can see that.
The other big thing is the village section of the game is going to be way expanded. So you're going to spend a lot more time in the Ganados like home compared to the
Well, I mean, look at what they did with Village. Like, you're literally in the village for like a good portion
of
the game.
It's a hub. It's your hub section, and everything else is
further and further, and then you go back.
And then that hub section just becomes dangerously...
Right.
I was going to say, dude, I'm getting a little controversial right here, but check me out, okay? Open world Resident Evil 4, dude. You're just dropped into the village, and there you go. Do what you will.
I kind of like it.
Nah.
I like it.
I would love an open world Resident Evil,
but in the vein of Village.
Well, because Village was kind of open world, you can walk around,
you can go do what you want.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess if you put it like that, where it's like a hub
world, kind of open world to also being linear because you have to go to certain areas to unlock like other areas.
Okay,
but
totally in for that.
Yeah, there's still enemies that respawn that come back, and then you're like, oh shit, So
Village is a Metroidvania in 3D.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's a Metroidvania.
Because you get new stuff to
unlock. You come back to unlock other stuff and you go through. It's like, it's very intricate.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The way that they've been going with their remakes is that, Resident Evil 2 remake was basically Resident Evil 4, but with Resident Evil 2 graphics and story, right? So if they do the Resident Evil 4 remake with the village type of, not first person, but just hub type, like you guys said, that would be kind of cool.
What if... Since they already put it in VR, what if they gave you an optional first person mode?
I can see that happening. I can totally see that.
Yeah,
like, because I mean, it's Village. It's, you know, Biohazard. So why not bring that into RE4 and give you the option to play the game full on in first person mode?
I would love that. There'd be mod, for sure.
I'm just saying. Like,
I'm going to drop another controversial thing. Give me a dedicated Leon S. Kennedy one liner button.
Yes. Oh. That is fantastic.
The dedicated one-liner button.
If I can just push triangle on the PlayStation, he'll just be like...
So instead of it being emotes, it'll just be Leon.
Yeah,
he'll just toss his gun up in the air and be like, where'd everyone go? Bingo? what was the other one? Sadly, you're small time.
You're small time. Oh,
yeah, he's bad. It's bad.
It's up there with the Escape from New York one-liner.
It's up there with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 3 lines. Like, it's in the same exact thing.
Pizza time.
Yeah. Never watched it.
If you want church, find religion.
That makes no sense. Consider yourself lucky, Alex, that you never watched
Spider-Man 3. I heard it was just so bad, and I was so... like, I love Spider-Man so much that I was like, I can't watch 3, and then I never did.
Yeah, Tobey is Leon S. Kennedy.
What's that? You're getting dirt in your face.
He totally is.
I never did.
Ooh. Oh boy, yeah, Leon's not that far back from that. Yeah. Okay, so this is a fun one for everyone. You're a villager in rural Spain, and suddenly you get word that some white dude in a fuzzy coat is shooting up folks and talking about the president's daughter. Which part of the game are you assigned to? What is your job, and how does Leon S. Kennedy take you out?
Straight up, I'm the merchant.
We're all
I'm just saying, like, if you're just opening up the gates, I'm like, I'm not even the merchant's assistant. I'm like, what do you mean, man, I'll go get that for you right now. Right. Like, I'm good. This guy's fucking. I walk by that village. He fucks some people up. You know, I'm gonna go get you some shit.
You can be the merchant. I'll be the big ass. ugly, grotesque, troll-looking dude.
With Grubantrius or something like that?
With the big-ass little worm that pops up. That the dog starts, like, fucking...
Oh, you're the big Ganado.
Yeah,
Ganado. Is that what it... Okay.
We'll be that. I'll get taken out by Leon like that.
I'm in the village. I have a cart of fruit. I don't know what's going on. He comes in and just throws a grenade and blows me up.
Oh my god, you're the My Cabbages guy from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Sure, I don't know what that is, but sure.
Oh no.
Fuente's one of those Ganados that tries to go kill him right away and just gets shot. Fuente gets shot in the kneecap and then he gets fucking body
slammed. Like a suplex, dude. No, I'm actually in the lab where the fucking...
The lab in rural Spain?
No, there's a lab in this game, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm in the lab where the regenerators are.
There's gotta be a lab.
In rural Spain in a village? It's called a village, and there's a lab? Okay, whatever.
There's a total lab.
Okay.
I'm in the lab where the regenerators are, and I'm, like, just doing tech, like, social media work for the Ganados. For the Las Plagas cult. I'm like, yeah, this is our brand. I
see you more like the guy on the boat that just tries to provoke the freaking fish.
No, I get that gets wrecked.
Yeah, right?
Gets wrecked at the beginning.
That's definitely Flint. That is definitely 100% Flint.
I get taken out because I have actually a series of Hot Pockets, like, just in my thing to eat on demand, and he's using the infrared just gets me.
How do you get the Hot Pockets, dude? Jesus Christ.
Because I'm working in a lab by myself.
So you just have a pocket?
French is one of the guys standing there with a torch that gets shot off a brain.
Sitting there, are you stuck?
And I'm not even infected. I'm just like, whoa, what's everybody doing over here? Are we all hanging out? Like, what's going on?
He's like, why is everybody going that way? What are you guys angry about?
Is it Taco Tuesday? What's going on here?
Oh, shit. He's shooting everybody. What are you, Alex?
I'm assuming this village has a tavern.
There you go. See?
I am going to be just a very, very interesting barmaid. That inevitably does turn into like a...
She's gonna be telling people, what are you buying?
She's gonna be like, all the townspeople come back to her and they're like, this fucking guy took... I was like, dude, they killed Julio? Shit.
I just wanna collect village gossip and be like wiping down a bar and be like, holy shit. And then eventually I will die a horrible death, but that's okay.
See, there you go. Okay. Now that Sadler has been taken out, the merchant has no one to sell firearms to and is in dire need of a job.
Jim!
Where does he get hired, and why does he get fired?
I got a good one for this. So, the merchant gets hired at the dollar store, and he gets fired because he buys everything at a high price. He's like, I'll buy that at a high price. No, everything's a dollar. Oh, yes. I'll buy that at a high price. Oh. Everything is a dollar. Ah, yes. I'll buy that at a high price.
I got a good one, too. All right. So the merchant, right, gets fucking, he looks for a new job in America. He fucking, he becomes basically the neighborhood ice cream man, but instead of being in an ice cream truck, like driving around, he walks around and he just opens up his coat to kids, right? And then a cop from behind sees him and is like, what the fuck is going on? Just beats the shit out of him, dude, especially because I'm sure he has a type of Mexican accent still.
Oh, yeah, he still does. Spaniard, right? Yeah, exactly.
Spaniard. So he's in L.A. He's fucking walking around the street. What are you kids buying? And fucking opens up his coat, dude. And the kids are like, ah, they scream and run away. But he really does have, like, guns and shit. So the cops just
which is worse.
Yeah, which is worse, right? Because he's not used to the new American way.
He doesn't get arrested for the guns.
He just gets shot. No, he just gets capped. That's what he does. Because the cops see him from behind and just beat the shit out of him.
So that's my take. Add to that moment real quick.
That's my take.
I would be like, instead of one of the kids running away, I just picture one of the kids being like, he's already dead.
Oh, gosh. So to me, the merchant is his entrepreneurial spirit is recognized by the big tech. And he is basically taking over Amazon sales at that point. So he is Bezos' right guy.
Damn, he becomes second to Bezos?
Oh, yeah, he comes second to Bezos, dude. And then some shit happens. You know, who the fuck knows?
You imagine, like, you order something from Amazon Prime and you get a knock on the door, and you open it up, it's the merchant just swinging open his fucking coat, saying, what are you buying?
What are you buying?
What are you selling? Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's the face of the app.
I can see how you can get Australian.
Australian, yeah. It's a little Australian. It is.
I see it now. Mm-hmm.
You took mine. Well, it's a little different.
Let's hear it.
Mine was he's going to become the spokesperson for an eBay buying, selling
there you
type
go.
Store. Like
some
Amazon.
Kind of haggling right there. Yeah,
yeah, some kind of eBay type thing where, you know, he gets to the, what do you buy? What do you sell?
Fucking high price, Jim.
Yeah. Fuck. I guess. I mean, the only thing I was thinking was like, well, now with one of the main characters like Luis gone, I would just say he takes over his role right there.
Wait. I got another one. What if he becomes the highest selling, top rated merchant on OfferUp and shit? Oh, can you imagine seeing his little fucking picture on OfferUp?
They're
just
that.
A fucking hoe.
His little review is like he buys well.
Yeah, he buys everything at a high price.
He buys everything at a high price.
It's like, yeah, but he's also selling us like he sold a fucking PS5 for like $1,000.
Okay,
like,
but it came with an attachment.
I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there's this like free buy and sell free like type of thing on TikTok where people like go on Facebook groups and like basically exchange things that they have for other things, and it's like this whole thing. This person like traded a paperclip her way up into a house. Like she traded a paperclip for one thing to one thing to one thing to one mm-hmm. thing until eventually she traded her way up to someone giving her a house.
I've seen these videos.
It took her a year and a half to do it, but she did it.
I've seen these videos and like, whatever. yeah, okay.
So what you're saying is the merchant would do that in 2 months.
Yes.
It's 8 months. He's got
like 2 weeks later, he's got a mansion.
Yeah, he just like sold or like traded his way.
But he gets sad because he can't trade anymore.
The only place that he would be safe is if he got hired at a gun convention.
Oh my gosh.
What are you buying?
Oh.
The San Bernardino.
Do you need to do like a background check or something to that?
He's gonna become the like de facto Republican, like bless
oh,
God.
No.
Oh, he's like Second Amendment merchant right there. Oh.
No.
He's all selling outside of a rally, just like oh.
Not enough cash.
Greetings, stranger.
Oh, that's good. Alright, so to conclude our episode of Resident Evil 4. What would you rate Resident Evil 4 out of 5 Leon S. Kennedy one-liners, James?
I'm going to give this a 4.5 out of 5 merchants. Because it's not my favorite, like I've said before. It's a great game, but it's not my favorite. Mm-hmm. So it gets 4.5 stars.
That makes sense.
I'd give it a solid 5, where'd everyone go? Bingo out of 5. You have to say it with the Leon S. Kennedy quote, dude. It has to be said. But I remember, okay, so just a quick little thing on that quote. Like you said, right? That's at the end of the village where you're fighting for your fucking life, and this guy just wants to be fucking a cool Mr. fucking like, oh, I just almost died taking on a village full of fucking Ganados, and let me just look around and say, oh, where'd everyone go? Bingo? Like, come on, dude. Come on. Come on, fucking Leon.
I am also going to give it, obviously, I play this one time a year, at least. I think it's one of the most important games ever made. I'm going to give it a 5. Not enough cash. Strangers. I give it a 5. This is one of the most, the strongest fives I've ever given, because it really is like that big a fucking deal. So 5 out of 5. I don't even need to explain it. You've heard me this whole episode.
Yeah, we have.
Yep.
I'll go with a 4.5.
Okay.
Mainly just because one of the biggest things is it's not my favorite as well. It's one of my, you know, I love it to dear. First one's always going to be my favorite one. Director's cut, because those awesome ass one-liners and that, you know. In that opening sequence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so,
and also but, the jazzy tunes from the director's cut, yeah.
Exactly. And so, but no, actually, one of the biggest things we talked about earlier, just the fact that, like, when I do play horror games, this is not the top of the list. My greatest horror game. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. I usually, if I jump to, a, like, way scarier game than this.
Yeah, yeah, because so, it's not really horror.
Yeah, it's more of, like, if I put this in the horror action, I give it the 4. If I put it in just action survival, then totally 5.
Yeah, but
in this sense, I would have to go as in, this is my 4-5.
Okay. Alex, any insights on Resident Evil 4?
I'm going to reserve rating until I've played the game, as I usually say on these episodes.
That's fair.
I just don't want to judge it, because I haven't played it. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys also, I'm just saying, you guys probably have a fair nostalgic attachment to it.
Huge.
So if I were to play it right now, I probably wouldn't rate it as high, because it, you know.
It is a little archaic in some ways, for sure.
Or you'd be like, damn, I know what the fuck they're talking about now. Holy shit.
I truly think if I were to play it now, just because of I didn't start playing video games until later, and just I think I'd probably have an issue with the graphics. Like, I'd be like, what's going on?
So remake.
So if a remake does eventually happen, as it is suspected to happen, I would, yeah, I'll play it and see, and then I'll probably be able to formulate an opinion there. But yeah, I look forward to playing it and, you know, seeing what the fuss is all about.
Yeah, the fuss.
But thank you guys so much for joining us this week. It's been so long since you guys have been on the podcast. Thank you so much, Jim, for joining us for the first time on the podcast.
Technically for the first time.
Technically, yes. Next week, we are talking about one of my personal favorites. It also happens to be one of Anthony's.
Oh, a total childhood movie.
It's a childhood movie.
With a director we've covered a little bit.
Just
not a lot.
Touch.
Yes.
The Neverending Story?
Yes.
Damn. Got him. I mean, I wasn't saying that to answer me, but okay. No. I was making a joke. Thanks for it.
Yeah. He was being funny. And now dude, I didn't have to cut pretty much anything out until now.
Thanks a lot, Flynn.
We'll lower it. It'll be fine.
But thank you so much, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us. And then join us next week for that. It'll be a delight. That was Resident Evil 4 from 2005. If you like what you heard, please, please, please subscribe wherever you're listening on every podcast app. And if you feel so inclined, you can write us a review on iTunes, and you can leave us a rating on iTunes as well as Spotify. And if you feel so inclined, we do have a Patreon. You can support us on Patreon for tiers as low as $5 a month. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
Yeah. Just posting memes.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. And then, do you guys want to promote anything? Here's your chance.
You know what? We've been like inactive for months because we've all been doing different shit. James had he got a house. I had to do car stuff. Got a new truck, refinancing my own house. It's just been very, very busy end of 2021. Hopefully we can get back in 2022 sometime.
Yep.
But right now, yeah, there's just a lot of stuff going on in the world and in my job and all that stuff. So, you know what? I mean, we've promoted it before, Enfro Gaming on Instagram. Hopefully we can come back this year sometime. We just have to find some time. We got a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, kudos to you guys, though, because you guys do it every week. You know,
that's... Oh, this is our therapy right here.
Yeah, I was going to say,
kudos
to you guys. You know, hopefully we can get back on that. It's just a lot going on in all of our lives right now.
Totally. But I look forward to your guys' return for sure. But yeah.
That's pretty much it for us.
Yeah. So when you guys come back, we will be the first to announce it.
Yes.
So thank you guys so much for joining us. And until then, insert joke from the episode here.
Yes. Oh, wait, no, yes. Sorry, wrong one.
Oh, yeah, stop.
What are you buying? Oh.